All right, we're back. Special, special, special. He's retarded guest.
Yes.
Joey Locke. No, I'm just teasing.
Special needs.
We were just talking, and have you been watching the news?
Yes.
So, I don't know if you saw this at all. We were just talking about Barstool Sports. I like them.
Yeah.
Did you see? I like the girls in the office.
Chicks in the office.
Yeah, they're cool.
Yeah. No disrespect to my wife, but that the Maria chick is
She's fire. And she's dating that dude Henry.
He's so
such
corny.
A loser.
Yeah.
Did you see him throw that punch in the fight
against Tex or whatever? Rough and Rowdy's good.
Did you watch the training video of him versus? I tried to sign up for Rough and Rowdy. I got to show you my intro video. I'm like, I'm not trying to be phony. I just trained. But if you put an Ohio Juggalo in front of me, I'll knock him down. So the dude Henry was throwing a straight. He was a southpaw.
Yeah.
And he was throwing the straight left. And every time he did it, his hands would be up. And then he would drop his hand and, like, throw it like that. And it looked so girly.
Yes.
I was just like, oh.
But then he really rocked the dude on one of the punches.
But the dude rocked him.
Yeah.
Giving him that 1-2.
Yeah.
It was like after the dude was getting his ass kicked bad.
Yes.
But I know what you're talking about. I think the dude was like coming towards him and he threw like a little uppercut and it surprised the dude. It hurt.
Yeah. The guy's name's Tex, I believe.
Yeah. I used to hate him, but I just think he's trying to be cool so bad.
Yeah. All those dudes are. Portnoy, I don't like that guy at all. But
yeah, he trashes Philly so much.
Yeah, and he's the most, like, arrogant, cocky son of a bitch ever.
And I kind of hate how they all wear, like, the Yeezy sneakers.
Yes.
Just because I don't know if you've come across this, bro.
Right.
But anything that the majority of the people like, I hate.
Right. What's that? Curmudgeon?
I think it's just like being a rebel or something.
Yeah.
Like, not that I'm a badass at all.
You're not a clout chaser, as they call it, as the kids call it.
But so, like,
neither am I.
The Yeezys, when people get hype off them, and I used to be a sneakerhead.
Same.
So, like, I used to wait in line for Jordans and stuff, and then all of a sudden, it got a little bit out of hand, and I was like, damn, this is crazy. You didn't have to wait in line like this.
Yeah.
And so I stopped buying Jordans. Then, you know, people are all hype on the Yeezys.
Ugly.
I don't even like them.
Nah, they're ugly ass shoes.
And I still like sneakers. Like, I like having a nice pair of sneakers, more than one if possible.
Oh, for sure. I don't fuck with Off-White either. Like, I don't really like a lot of Kanye's gear style.
Dude, I just think it's funny.
I don't get it or like it.
He put on weight, and so now he's trying to push, like, fleeces out there to hide his gut. Bro,
like,
you live
bro.
In Calabasas, California.
Mm-hmm.
No need for a fleece at all.
No. And he's like, I don't get it.
Me and you aren't, like, fashion dudes. Like, some dudes are, like, fashion dudes.
Yeah, Cicchetti's, like, fashion guy.
Yeah,
he
his fashion
that.
Is, I could critique right now, though.
Yeah, I could critique it.
He dresses like
he loves Kanye.
Yeah.
He loves Kanye.
But he dresses like he's about to light a tiki torch and go into an alt-right rally.
He does. That's his swag. Sorry, Mike.
We're just teasing, Mike.
Yeah.
I haven't seen you dress in 18 years, or 8 years. But I love you. Shout out to the sack, Cicchetti.
Yes.
Do you know what I wanted to talk to you about?
What?
I got horrible news for you.
Okay.
Saudi women are allowed to drive.
Oh
my God. Oh,
man. That's
Everybody
right. I seen that. I got the CNN, like,
yeah.
the CNN, what do you call that? Like, update.
Bro, I thought it was so funny. Do you have Snapchat?
No.
So they have, like, a news thing on Snapchat. And they were interviewing Saudi men, and they had to act like they liked it. So the guy was like, yes, I'd like to, you know, I'm so happy women got their rights today. And I'm going to say 2 iftars for my wife driving. I'm going to say 2 iftars she doesn't scratch my wheel when she's parallel parking. And I'm going to say 2 iftars for my sexy camel, Rashida. But I do horrible impressions. Holy shit.
That was a good one.
But it was just funny to me Because I think they understood that, like, people were watching their country when this happened. Dude, yeah. And so they were acting all positive about it.
Dude, and Boney was in Bahrain for, like, 2.5 years. And he always said, like there would be, like, such weird, like, social things from the standpoint of, like, women couldn't even drive, but then there was, like, Russian whores everywhere.
Yeah.
It's like... How's that like?
And all those Saudi Arabians, they all go to Dubai and like have sex with prostitutes do drugs and all this stuff. Because booze isn't legal in Saudi Arabia.
Right, but it is in Bahrain, different country, yeah.
But so Bahrain is like, you know, all these countries that are majority Sunni Muslim. Right. That's like the strictest. I'm trying to think of a similar Christian thing. I guess it was
like Mormon?
Yeah, or like David Koresh and all those Seventh-day Adventists where they think the world's going to end.
Ah, dude. Like Jim Baker?
Yeah. Or people that talk in tongues.
I got no time for that.
And you know, I'm into God, and I watch this, and I'm like, holy smokes.
Yeah, you're like, yee.
These people aren't talking to the wrong guy, I think.
Nah. Sometimes I watch that Jim Baker on, like, on Super Deluxe.
Yeah, I love the stuff he sells.
Yeah, have you ever seen
Because they really believe the world's gonna end.
Yeah, but there's a guy who like makes fun of it. It's like a voiceover thing.
Oh yeah, I've seen this.
It's like Super Deluxe. The other guy, he does things about like Kanye West as well. It's like, oh man,
it's like the
Vic Berger.
Yes,
Vic Berger, dude. It is so funny to watch a Jim Baker Vic
Berger. Yeah.
Because that guy is dead serious trying to sell you
spaghetti and meatballs in like a baseball
top. And then he's like, if you think you can't store it, you can just make it a table.
Or you could use it. He said, he literally on the voiceover, he was like, or you can make it a toilet.
Yeah.
It was the funniest thing.
Dude, and people are really in the audience like, yeah, that's right.
That's right.
I will.
People
do that.
Are buying it. That's a crazy thing.
Yeah.
Bill O'Reilly, all these guys have gotten rich selling stuff. The Alex Jones dude.
Yep.
To people that watch their show.
Scum of the earth, dude. Scum of the earth.
And do you know what else I wanted to talk about? Do you know who Pete Davidson is from Saturday Night Live?
Yes.
Pretty funny dude, but I think he's a loser because he's got a Hillary Clinton tattoo.
Yeah, he's a noodle.
He's like a clout chaser.
Big time clout chaser. Yeah.
So he's trying to be cool so bad. He's trying to be accepted in Hollywood.
Yeah.
He's famous for his dad actually was a 9/11 first responder fireman.
Yes.
And he passed away in the tower. And so he's just like used that. Listen, if that was, it's not saying like, I don't think he should not talk about that. But I think for whatever reason, and this isn't really his fault, but he is more famous because of that.
Yeah. Have you ever watched... Pete Davidson and this British guy, British comedian.
Yeah, I know who you're talking about. He's like an insult comic. He's funny as hell. Yeah.
They did a roast together, and he said one of the harshest, funniest fucking jokes.
Jimmy Carr. Yeah, I love him.
Dude, he crushes Pete Davidson. Oh my God.
What roast was that?
I forget.
It's the roast where they, the Republican chick, they just all crapped on her.
Yeah, and Jimmy Carr says something like,
Jimmy Carr's a funny bull.
He's like Pete Davidson's like career's, you know, about to go up in flames, like much like his father did on 9/11 or something like that.
It sounds horrible in this context, but it was actually funny.
It was. It, going back to our episode yesterday of anything's allowed to be funny.
Yeah.
As long as you know.
I think you should be allowed to say anything, ever.
Yeah.
And I just think like with that Colorado baker.
Right.
Now all of a sudden those people, what's the chick's name? Sarah Huckabee? That is Trump's
Speaker of the House?
Speaker of the House, yes.
Oh, that chick's
I'm glad you knew Speaker of the House because I was struggling right there.
Yeah, and she's big time, like,
yeah,
she's like...
She's annoying, but, like, that's her job. And if Trump offered me that job, I would take it without a doubt.
Yeah.
And
do you think she's a huge scissor chick, though?
Yeah, without a doubt.
Yeah, without a doubt. Like,
dude.
She's like, hating on, like, gay people left and right and then scissoring
but
chicks.
Here's the thing,
the
right?
The second she's not.
This is something that it kind of goes to they have to do that because right. they think that their Republican supporters are, you know, parts of churches that hate gays and stuff like that, which I don't believe. Now, I go to a church in Philadelphia, so it might be a little bit different than a church in Texas or Alabama.
True. Yeah, I mean, my priest, I believe, at my
was
wedding.
Was a fag? Yeah.
No, I'm teasing. No, I'm dead serious.
Yeah, I think a lot of them are.
Yeah. No, I mean, like not open a child and pedo. Okay. Oh, yeah, no. Really? Like me and Marianne got married at a church that was non-denominational.
No, because, I've heard about this too.
Yeah, they're it's like church.
That's kind of like the church monks. I go to is it's a evangelist, and so it's like not about. I talked about this with TJ. I forget if you were here, but it's all about just like being a good person.
Exactly.
So yeah. Like any man-made rules I grew up with that I don't think fit, I don't follow.
Yep.
Because I, you know. The Bible is 2,000 years old.
Exactly.
And I think a lot of times men got in, no matter what people tell me, I think not everything in it is accurate.
Oh, 100%.
And so
and it's misinterpreted all the time.
People would hate hearing me say that. Like, but it's just the fact. Maybe I'm wrong about that, but...
I think you're dead on about that.
Yeah, but so the point I was trying to make is this. I think that Sarah Huckabee thinks that she needs to persecute gays.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that in the church, it's not really a topic people talk about.
Right.
Do you know what else, too? She gets it bad, man. They roast the hell out of her.
Yeah.
And so they kicked her out of the restaurant, and then all the Republicans were outraged. And remember, on the it's just, like, so crazy to me. That these two people, Republicans and Democrats, are such hypocrites about everything.
About everything, dude.
Both of them.
Yeah.
And it's so annoying to me that people want to align themselves with either one. But at the same time, like, the people are acting like the side they pick is right and the other side is wrong, which is not the case.
No, never.
Both sides are wrong. And that's the perfect example of it.
Mm-hmm.
And, I just think that, you know, the person should be allowed to kick her out of the restaurant if they don't want her.
Exactly. Yeah, dude, you can kick, you own an establishment, right? It's yours. Even right. if you lease the goddamn building, you conduct your business as you see fit as long as it's either
not harming people,
like blatantly racist,
or,
like.
Against
blatantly homophobic
or yeah. like being a terroristic threat.
Exactly. Like
that's the only thing I think in free speech it shouldn't be allowed, because then somebody could kill you and then they're in trouble, you
right.
know.
And as far as see, I think there's a certain demographic of people that also have that they don't have a problem with homosexuality, but they have a problem with homosexuality when it comes to marriage.
Yeah, or like it being on TV and stuff.
Right, like it may seem hypocritical to open-minded people. Like I consider myself a more open-minded person. I don't really like... I'm not like that. Like I'm not going to be like, yeah, you can be gay and suck dick, but you can't marry each other.
Yeah.
Like marriage is like... I mean, dude, you want to be miserable like everybody else, get married. Yeah. Like two gays, like two women... A guy with a wiener and a chick maybe trying to get a wiener one day. Like, I don't know. I can't, like, keep up with all of it.
Yeah,
either can I. But the point is, I don't care about that. But I think there's this demographic of people that they're like, oh, I'm very accepting. Like, I don't mind homosexuals. Oh, I'm going to a gay wedding. You're a heathen. Yeah. You know, it's like,
well,
what the
now,
fuck's
here's
the difference?
Thing, right? I'm very in support of gays because I think they get a bad rap. Right?
Yeah.
And I feel bad for them. But... I feel like Hollywood definitely tries to push gay stuff on little kids. 100%. Did you ever see the video? It was like a teacher explaining to a kindergarten class like transgenders.
No,
I was like, that's not something that needs to be told about. There's less than a million transgenders.
Yes.
There's 1.2 million small people, dwarfs, midgets, whatever you want to call
right.
them. Right. And... we focus all this time on these people.
Exactly.
And they're even smaller than dwarfs.
Yep.
A smaller percentage.
Yeah, and like, dude, Chappelle says it the best. Like, in
dude, one that of his was Netflix, funny as stand up.
Yeah, he's like, yo, like, I get it. You guys are trying to make waves, but like, I'm pretty sure I just got called the N word in traffic the other day. So yeah. Like, why don't you guys slow down a little bit? Like, you can't get everything overnight. Like, I get it. You want your equal rights and you want everything, but like, but see, and that is the thing is Hollywood has the ability to personify things,
right? And they're so liberal.
They're so liberal and. They are one of the few facets of society that have a very overwhelming population of homosexuals in it.
That's why
lesbians and gays, and they have the
power to influence
exactly at all times. And once it became cool, like from a governmental perspective and from a societal perspective, they went into overdrive into producing movies, shows, you know. Dominant Broke characters. Yeah, broke back now. Dude, but then even freaking Omar.
Yeah.
Omar's like the most badass dude in The Wire, and he's like closet homosexual or whatever.
Right.
Mayer's had me watch the stupid VMAs the other night. I remember the VMAs were at least like somewhat middle of the road growing up. Like, if you were a dude, teenage dude.
The VMAs used to be like street, because it was like, this isn't what's on the Grammys.
Exactly. What now was it, it now? Is, dude. Every oh, it wasn't the VMA. Sorry, you music, can, video musical. No, the no, it movie was the, awards. It was the oh, movie it was, awards.
Because you couldn't pay me to watch any award show.
No,
actually, and you could pay me. It would just have to be a little, you know, $1,000 or something.
Easy, dude. Me and Mayor try to sit down and watch the movie awards because she's like, I don't want to watch like dude stuff tonight. And most of the time, I'm very like we watch mutual shows. Like I'm not really gonna make.
I'm
her
a big
watch.
Fan of rom coms. I'm not gonna lie.
I'll watch them if she
and
does.
And chicks like them, so you know it works.
As long as I don't watch the Sixers as long with her, as long as she doesn't watch like Southern Charm with me, that type shit. So we're watching the movie awards or whatever, dude. Every single like nominee was all either like a strong female character, a strong like LGBTQ character, or like a strong like. Black or like Hispanic character.
See,
like,
I didn't even know this happened.
The white male was like not even relevant at all. And don't, yo, I'm not getting onto that kid.
Yeah.
I don't give a fuck about that. Because
my argument is like, who gives a shit?
Yeah,
right?
I don't give a shit.
Because I'm not in Hollywood. Like, I really don't care.
Yes. But I just saw, it was to our point of like how blatant you saw like what was being pushed. Perfect example, even.
Yeah, what was the LGBTQ person?
Dude, it was like, it was something like who was like a hero or something like that, and I forget who it was or they gave the award to, but the biggest one I can remember, it wasn't LGBTQ, but it was like it just shows like how opposite your thought was or how hard they tried to force something was. It was best villain category, right?
Mm-hmm.
You have Thanos, it, and like just right there, those two dudes are the definitions of villain. It is like a crazy fucking clown. He's scary.
Yeah,
terrifies
I never saw
you.
But I know it, yeah.
Thanos is like out here like ruining like the whole world's lives. And if we look at villain as a word, there's no gender orientation. There's no race orientation.
Right.
There's no orientation to that. A villain is just a bad guy.
So you think they're making them white guys on purpose?
No, dude. Killmonger won from Black Panther. Yeah, that guy was like...
I gotta tell you, though. Michael B. Jordan killed that role.
He did, but Thanos as a villain... If you really look at what a villain is, that guy was the most villainous dude
ever. Michael B. Jordan... I'm glad we don't agree on this.
Oh, good, good.
Because Michael B. Jordan...
Yes.
...killed that role.
He was great.
Because he...
Black Panther was great. I didn't hate it.
No, but here's the thing. The Chadwick Boseman character was shit compared to Michael B. Jordan.
I am Black Panther.
Yeah. That was
Black
pretty good.
Dude? Oh,
yeah.
Thank you. I am the real Black Panther.
But the Killmonger, I don't care. Just Michael B. Jordan was official in that. When he, like, killed his girlfriend and,
yeah,
like...
Yeah, dude, he was official. I get it. He was, like, the black guy who was, like, you know, he hated that they... That
they
Wakanda,
left him in America,
left him
in Oakland.
All right, that's
Oakland.
That's great and all, but
and I gotta tell you, they stole my story with that.
What?
That I had that same idea.
What, Wakanda?
Yeah, not Wakanda, just like a person from Oakland.
What, to be in the movie?
No, I'm teasing,
dude. But okay, that's like, that's villainous and all. Like,
he, yeah, Thanos is the greater villain. He was killing every world.
Exactly. Yeah. Like, he literally every didn't planet, give a he fuck was just about
wiping people out.
Yeah, all Killmonger was just trying to get some love. He was coming back to his people, like, yo, what gay y'all left want? Me out here. What?
What gay people want?
Oh, I forget what the award. Oh, best kiss, obviously.
Oh, it was two gay guys?
Yeah, exactly.
See, that's what I'm now talking about. Now, that's Hollywood shit.
Yeah. Yeah. That's, so that's the like, other one. Yep.
This is what pisses me off.
Yep.
Because. I, maybe I'm wrong for this. I still get uncomfortable when I see two gay guys make out.
I can't say the same as I went to culinary school.
So you saw that a lot?
I saw that a lot, yeah.
What?
Oh, like couples that would like, you know, like kiss each other
goodbye. Gay guys?
Yeah, gay guys.
What'd they do with the cheese grater?
Didn't want to know. I always had, but I was always cool with a lot of them. Like, I would see them out socially, like. And some of my boys would hate on me real hard, like, because one dude cross-dressed. Oh, and I would see him out in public sometime, cross-dressed, and I'd be like, what's up, Toph? Like, what's going on, bro?
And you would dap him?
Yeah, I wouldn't care. What was he going to, like, touch my dick?
No,
he knows I'm a, you know, heterosexual male, and he's gay as hell. And we always were cool because I always was like, look, dude, I don't mind how gay you are, anything like that. I just don't want to hear about, like, you're behind the closed doors. And I won't tell you about my behind the closed doors. Like, I won't be out here telling you about chicks I bring home the same way I don't want to hear, you know, about you getting pounded by your boyfriend.
Yeah.
Mutual respect.
Right.
Because we're keeping, you know.
Because PDA is weird even when it's a man and a woman. Right.
Exactly.
Like, when you see somebody, like, hardcore making out at a restaurant, you're like, that's like, a little odd. Get a room, dude.
Yeah. But nah, too, dude, I've seen it enough where I'm just like over
it. Still makes me a little uncomfortable.
Understood.
Maybe it shouldn't.
Hey, it's a thing.
But I think that to award best, they definitely awarded best kiss. Now, I didn't watch this.
Yeah.
But it's without a doubt. So they can feel good about themselves and be like, oh, we're so... you know, liberal. We awarded best kiss to two gay guys.
Oh, yeah. Look how progressive MTV look, is.
Exactly.
Yeah, 100%. And
that's what annoys me.
Me too.
Because I hate anybody who wants to go on a pedestal. And I meant to talk about this, right?
Right.
Pete Davidson broke up with that girl. Yeah, go to town.
Ariana Grande?
No. So Larry he broke up Davis. With Larry David's daughter, who's very attractive, actually.
Uh-huh. And probably funny.
I don't know about that. She's a broad.
Right.
But, so, I'm just teasing.
Kind of.
But, so, you know, he broke up with, or they broke up. I don't know what happened, right? So, he was dating Larry David's daughter, Cassie David. Very attractive girl. Ariana Grande is, without a doubt, more attractive.
Yeah, to me. M was dating Mac Miller.
Okay.
And he made a whole album about her.
Yeah, that looks bad now.
Yeah, it looks real bad on him.
She broke up with him for Pete Davidson. Exactly. She likes ugly dudes.
Ugly tattooed white guys. Yeah. That's her thing.
So.
Should get a couple more tattoos?
Yeah. So Big Sean dated her before, though. He's not white.
No.
He might not even be tattooed. He might be like me.
Yeah. And see, that throws a new loop into the system. But go ahead.
So, I was just wanted to talk about. Because this happened to me, and I feel Cassie David on this. Pete Davidson, they break up. Now he's dating a girl that's more, to me, more attractive than her.
Right.
And then they get engaged after a month. So I was dating a girl before, and I don't think the guy was better than me, but he was definitely like in better shape than me. Like had like a six pack.
Yeah.
And he was kind of goofy looking, but like just him having a six pack, like messed with my head.
Right.
Like I was like, damn, I suck. I'm not anything, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
And so I feel what she's going through right now. Cause have you ever had that happen to you where like you and a girl broke up, even if it was a mutual breakup and she dated with somebody and you're like, damn, this guy's better than me.
Yes. Yeah,
that's the worst feeling, isn't it?
Yeah. But yeah, it was more so, and I'll be funny about this, and shout out to all my black friends, because you know I'm just joking around when I say this, but it definitely happened to me of like, wasn't maybe necessarily like a physical thing, but like, I definitely had those dates of my black guy, and I was now I'm really fucked. Like, like he's probably like, strapped downstairs.
Yeah, I wasn't now satisfying her. Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, like,
that's kind of what I thought, too, because the guy had a six-pack, and I was like, damn, maybe my stomach, like, really turned her off.
Right, yeah, like, physically, I wasn't, like, making, like, so that, yeah, that's, like, that physical attraction you weren't providing for me. I'm like, man, like, is that, like, But is that really, stimulation not, like, doing it? You know what I mean? Like, I'm like, fuck.
But really, when you when I look back on it, I'm like, it just wasn't meant to be.
Right, exactly.
And, but in the time, it's like, it really messed with my head.
Right.
And I was like, I think I didn't go out for, like, a month because I was hurt. Just, like, not because we broke up. Then, like, a couple days later, she popped up on Instagram with this picture with this dude. I was like, what the hell?
Yeah.
And it just messed with me, man. And it's just funny how that it shouldn't have, because really I still think I'm better than him.
Right.
But at the time, you start to question you're always your own worst critic, you know?
Yes.
And so, like, I started looking at myself in the mirror and being like, you suck, you know?
Yes.
You're a disgrace, you fat slob.
Right,
you know?
right.
And I shouldn't have, but I did.
That's just, see, I had...
And you started measuring your penis.
Right, I started doing that. More so, though, I think I had, for me, when it comes to that, my experience is slightly different because, for me, when all being young, you know, like, young as a kid, like, you don't think about girls or whatever, just living a life. And back when I was young, like, certain girls have, like, a crush on me in class or something like that. But then middle school, I had the awkward stage. 6th to 8th grade... Fat, you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, and then ninth,
I think I'm still going through that.
Yeah, whatever. Dude, 9th grade, though, when I had my growth spurt, there was chicks that I had, like, crushes on that then wanted
started
to talk to me.
Yeah.
So I was like, oh, okay, like this is kind of cool. And it sprouted this confidence and this level of, like, I don't give a fuck for the rest of my life. Like, girls turn me down. Girls reject me for somebody else. I turn them down. I reject them. Long relationships, short relationships, crazy broads, real sensitive girls, whatever. It just kind of left. It kind of was a crucial thing in a positive way that happened to me, I think, from, like, a dating, like, you know, on, as far as, like, how the opposite sex can affect you, that it kind of always left me, like, you know, like, you know, girls aren't shit. You know what I mean? I kind of was just like, until one
I
really...
went through that, but then you, like you said, you meet girls that are solid, and you're like, damn, this chick is solid as hell.
Yeah, like my wife, like, and I guess it wasn't so much the kind of feeling that you're describing as much as, like, me being, like, such
angry.
Sometimes I was such, like, an asshole dirtbag, and then... You know, there was, like, a certain point of time where she was like, that's too much.
Yeah, because I kind of went through that, too.
And then I had to get...
Because I was trying to be cool so hard and, like, impress the girl that I was just, like... I realized now, I'm like, damn, I was just, like, putting this girl down a lot.
Yep.
And it makes me feel horrible. I still think about it today. I'm like, damn, I wasn't shit then.
Oh, yeah, and, like, for me, like, that was, like, a couple years... Like, me and my wife had dated for almost like 11 years before we got 10 years basically. And there was always off and ons because we had like, we were dating through college. And like, I'm sorry, this is a PSA too to all the couples that dated through college and act like y'all are perfect into your 30s. That's not real. That's not real. She probably banged somebody else on the sneak, or he probably did, or something like that. You were just perfect 16. No, and like, I value those times where me and my wife at young ages where we were still developing kind of had like a little bit of an out.
Right.
Because it allowed me to get in the kind of mental frame that like I always saw like, oh, girls aren't shit. But I was like, but this girl is.
Right.
And then I was in that uncomfortable position of like, man, how do you like win a girl back? How do you really try to show this value?
I think you never can. That's
I did.
Yeah, all right. That's why it's a theory and not a proven thing.
Yes. Yes, in my case, it worked out, I should say. Because, you know, I think we both... It was fortunate. It was fortunate that that split was we were really young and we still had a lot of life to worry about. We were only like 21.
Yeah, and now I'm lucky because when a relationship ends now, I'm just at the stage where, like you said, I have confidence and I just think it wasn't meant to be.
Right.
But there was a time where I didn't have confidence. Yes. You know? Yes. And so that's like high school, right?
Right.
And that's when a relationship ended was drastic, right? You're like, oh, I'm so hurt, you know, stuff like that.
But yes.
Luckily, I started boxing and stuff like that, gained a lot of confidence. And then girls started, you know, I was never a ladies' man, but like, I still don't think I am at all. But then girls started to approach me more often. And right. I was like, oh, this is nice, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
Want to keep this going, yeah. Mm-hmm. So that definitely helped me gain confidence too.
Yes.
So, shout out to Cassie David, because I feel bad for her.
Yeah, me too. Shout out Cassie David, because I don't like Pete Davidson.
I hate
him. And I like Mac Miller, so fuck you, Ariana Grande. You're breaking my man's heart. Wrote a whole album about you.
She's like, if I was to say, now, she looks so young, so I feel, her and Selena Gomez look so young.
I like Selena Gomez's, like, raspy kind of voice.
Yeah, she's kind of sexy,
like,
too.
Yeah, I'm like, you're kind of, like, I feel like you're a badass in real life.
And, no, do you know who I really like? The Hollywood chick, Demi Lovato.
Yeah.
She's bad.
She is bad. She is good looking.
That's, like, my type. And Ariana Grande is, too, but she looks so young, I feel weird saying it. She looks like she's 18 years old.
Yeah, she's a little too small frame. She needs a little more...
Meat. Like, she's very thin.
Yeah, I'm not into that.
So... I want to talk about this, and I want you to tell me if something's wrong with me.
Okay.
So, my whole life, I've hated people who, like, act like rich people, or, like, even if they are rich people, and they're just act like snooty.
Okay.
And I would rather be hanging in the slums of South Philly at some random bar than hang out in Rittenhouse Square with those people. I like the food in Rittenhouse Square too, but I just don't like the people there.
Yeah, agreed.
Like, the bartender's a jerk to me, and like, when I go to the slums, I get love. So yes. I like that.
Yes.
You know? Is something wrong with me?
Absolutely not.
Huh? Nothing's wrong with me, you don't think?
No.
But do you think there's anything... I'm just gonna pause this. I gotta take a piss so bad.
Alright.
All right, we're back. We were talking about how I hate to hang out with rich people. But right. I wanted to ask you, why do you think they do that? Because it's not a likable trait at all, like being snooty and being snobby.
Honestly, sometimes I think it's because they feel like they can.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, oh, like I got money, like, because when you got money, you can...
The world opens up to you, without a doubt.
Yeah, exactly. You pretty much, like, do, like, whatever, and you lose...
Look at this guy trying to copy off me with the red beard. Yeah, what were you saying, sir?
No, like, you lose humility.
Yes.
You lose humility because,
and humility's a great thing to have.
Exactly.
Because it lets you see both sides of things.
Right, and you know, hum is the root word. Hum being of the earth. That's what hum means. So humans are of the earth. And you're supposed to, like, interact with your humans while you're on the earth.
I'm impressed with you right now, bro. Keep going.
Thanks. Yeah, but because of that...
I'm learning from you.
Because of that, that's like, where humility comes from. Your interaction with others.
Yeah.
You're understanding that I may be here, but this person is
here as well.
There.
We're all
yeah.
humans, yeah.
You know, and
I didn't know that's where humility comes from.
Yeah, like, and I think, like, you know, that's a lot of times, like, people in, like, high society with money and stuff, like, they are so sheltered and so, like, judgmental and image based that, like, even me and you as, like, suburban, like, white kids, I have 2 tattoos and you could dress like a certain way and like we could go out and like people like that could judge us not even realizing we probably like grew up like somewhat even near them. You know what I mean? And it's just because everything's like an image because a lot of things in their life is materialistically based, image based.
Self-esteem.
Yeah, so it's like, oh, you don't like drive what I drive, like you're less than. Like you don't look how I look, you're less than. Right. You don't eat where I eat, think how I think, like
it's just like to me, right? So I used to work on the main line.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not saying these people are worse at it, because I dated a chick from Jersey that was the most materialistic person. And the thing is, I used to not like when I heard somebody say something snooty or what I deemed to be mean, or because I would just be like, yo, you're so blessed, man. Like,
right.
Be humble yourself.
Exactly.
And, you know, I'm trying to think. We went to high school with somebody who acts like a total rich dickhead. I can't think of who it is. It is what it is.
Right, yeah, yeah.
But so...
probably a lot of kids.
Yeah, but it's just like... I think they're doing well, but like, why do you gotta act like that?
Dude, I don't get it.
And that's why I can't hang with them, because he's not the only one, right? There's a bunch of people that act this way.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't want to be around them. I want to be with people who are just about having a good time.
Right, exactly. You know? Yeah,
not
yeah.
about, like, what I can do for them or what they can think they can do for me, you know?
Yes.
And so I'm just not about that life, I guess.
Nah. I mean, for me, I've never identified, you know, like, being... Even though I very much grew up in a majority in, like, a suburban household, so to speak, like, my parents are very much city people. My dad is from the, like, grew up in a project. Like, he's from poverty. He's from a divorce household. My mom's from a divorce household. So, like, I was never raised in any kind of, like, elitist or, like, rich environment. Like, I was always...
Plus, your granddad would humble your ass.
Oh, 100%. And you want to talk about... Yeah, I mean, like, my grandfather even more. Like, my grandfather was down, like, with the 10th and Wolf boys. And, you know, like, true mafioso. Like, Philly mafiosos. Yeah. Like, and then, like, all my cousins...
That's where Talata's from.
Oh, from down around, like, 10th and Wolf and stuff?
10th and Wolf, exactly.
Now, my family, though, is all River Ward Polacks, like Kenzo's and Riseburg and Port Rich and Mayfair.
It's so funny. I was driving in Port Richmond the other day. I saw like 10 people, and I'm part Polish, too, so I loved it. But they're wearing the Polish soccer jerseys.
Oh, hell yeah,
and,
dude.
Like, when you walk in Port Richmond, you'll see people with, like, a Polish accent. Like, they just came... They got family over here, and they come over here to stay with them or whatever.
Oh, yeah. And Stanisławiecki's is like an institution. My family's gone there my whole life for kibasi. Yeah. Like, that's
is that
like,
the kibas and pierogi place?
They got it all. They got...
Yo, their pierogies are lit, bro.
And they got the deli meats. They got Krzyczyki.
Yeah.
It's on Salmon Street, like off of Belgrade.
Yeah, like near the river, right?
Yeah, yeah. It's Academy Road off 95.
Yeah.
I think that's more... I want to say, I think that's more Bridesburg than it is Port Richmond. Yeah. But a lot of family in Bridesburg.
That Academy Road is Bridesburg, right?
Yeah.
But I like that neighborhood a lot, actually.
Love
it. Because it's not like the far northeast, but it's pretty close to downtown there. You know, it's a 10-minute drive.
Yeah.
Especially if you're going on like the east side of Philly.
Right. And I think because of all that, I could never identify like a lot of those rich people or snobby people, because like I know what it's like just to be a kid that got like my family didn't live in the city, so to a lot of my city family, like even though my family was just like middle class, like my parents had to work just as hard as anybody else.
Insurance salesman.
Yeah, accountant.
Oh yeah.
But the whole point was, you really learn how people from there look at people like us, because they thought my dad like was like Rich Uncle Pennybags.
Yeah.
Joey, I want to start a contracting business. Joey, I'm thinking that. My dad's like, I don't have any money.
And that weighs on, and can I tell you something? It's like a weird thing when you have a big family and you get money, because you see it. And Showtime did a TV show about this. It was about a black professional athlete, and he's from like the slums of Atlanta. And just, like, people are hitting them up for money nonstop. And it just gets old. You're like,
right.
If I give everybody money, I will have no money left.
Exactly.
And a lot of athletes made that mistake before, you know?
Mm-hmm. And sometimes, Like in my dad's case, like, you don't have it the way others perceive you have it. Like, right. And you're also bitter toward, like, my dad would be bitter, and why we don't talk to some of his family is because of him responding, like, yo, like, I worked my ass off to get here. You can work the same. Like,
I spent all my money on my mortgage. Right. I don't have any money to go around.
Yeah, you know? And, like, I don't have the same sympathy for you because we grew up down the street. And, you know, like, I made my choices in life. And you, my dad's the epitome of a choices person.
And parents are everything, though.
Mm-hmm.
When I have kids, I think I'm going to be a great dad.
Because, I think so, too.
Because it's just, like, you see people raise people to be shitty.
Mm-hmm.
And you see people raise people to be great people.
Yes.
And I think I'm capable of doing the latter, you know?
Yeah. And it's a shame that sometimes what people deem is good is materialistically based instead of what we just spoke about.
Right. Because
there are people with a lot of materials and a lot of wealth that raise shitty kids.
Yep.
There's people with nothing that raise great kids.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And, that's the other thing with this generation is I think that a lot of times they grew up with money. They grew up having things, you know, participation trophies.
Mm-hmm.
So when one thing doesn't go their way, they all riot on Twitter and, you know, make a big stink out of stuff. And it's just like, it's not that serious, man. No. You know, like.
No, and I think it's also, you know, because maybe like. So speaking on my case, I think where I'll be blessed is a little bit of, even though I didn't experience what my dad experienced.
You saw it.
Yeah, it keeps me level that I'll never, you know, I can't tell my kid, hey, I'm from down bottom, I had this really tough life.
Yeah.
But I can say, hey, you know, your grandfather really knows what it was like to, like,
right.
you know, struggle and work hard and, like, you know, I want you to know that, like, you know, you're going to lose sometimes. Things aren't going to go your way sometimes. But there's even members of your family that, you know, learn that that can still make you great. You can still do good things. You know, because I think sometimes that's a shame is, like, some parents, some people that are a little older than us that had kids that are part of this, like, participation generation is, like, they didn't use any kind of, like, adversity in a way to parent.
To motivate.
Mm-hmm.
And do you know what, too? I realized, too, when you accomplish something and it's legitimate, I just recently realized this. I, like, got into running. And so, like, I set a goal for myself. And when you accomplish it, it's the best feeling ever.
Right.
And, you know, and I just think that the participation trophy kind of thing makes you feel like you can't accomplish anything.
And or minimal things are an accomplishment.
Yeah.
Which and I think is almost worse.
Yeah, they're both bad.
Yeah.
And I just don't think that what they did, because they spoiled the shit out of their kids, was the right thing to do. I think now, my dad had me working at his dealership when I was 10 years old. And I think that was a little bit, like, he should have been like, hey, study and get good grades. But, you know, I'm 30 now. I can't go back and redo it.
Right, right.
But I think that was a little young to work now that I think back about it.
Yes, yes.
And, you know, I have another friend that did the same thing. And his parents owned a pizza shop in Philly. He was just like, dude, as soon as I could twirl a pizza in there and not mess it up, I was in there baking pies. And so, like, because of that, it kind of led me to believe this is what I do. When really, what I could do is limitless. I know that now.
Right, right.
But, you know, it's a weird thing. And I'm not mad at my parents, but I just know what I'm going to do different from them, you know?
Yes.
Yeah, but we recently talked about the ICE agents taking the kids, you know, it's a horrible story this week. They were separating Mexican kids from their parents at border crossings.
Right.
Just know, I don't know, why can't we put these kids into some place they are comfortable, like a home with their parents, or squeezed into a minivan with 30 other people?
That's the case.
And, you know, to the older kids, I mean, you're 12-year-old Mexican. You should be working already, baby Joker. The part I like most about Mexican culture is their use of baby strollers. They have 2,000 uses for them.
Okay.
And they either got a 12-year-old kid in the stroller because he just landscaped all day.
Right.
Or they got a newborn baby being pushed by a 12-year-old kid in the stroller. And that was my joke for the week. I'm trying to think. I thought I had another one.
Those are pretty good.
Anything else you want to talk about? I don't think I got anything.
Nah, man. I've shouted him out so many times throughout this podcast, but I am so moved by the Stay Woke song this week.
Yeah, you Meek love Mill. That song. I like that song. Too.
Just shout out. I've said, and to go back to my family.
Meek, if you're insane and you're listening to this.
Yeah, shout outs to you because I've said to a lot of my River Ward family members over the years who can be inherently racist as fuck.
Yeah.
Like, hey, you gotta, like, understand, like, you know, hip-hop culture, blah, blah, blah.
Why
like
do you think that comes from, like, growing up in a inner-city area? Mm-hmm. If you come from a white neighborhood.
Right.
There's, like, you're combative with the black neighbors.
Big time.
Where's Riverwalk, by the way?
No, River Wards. River Wards are Brysburg, Port Richmond, Kensington.
Okay.
They call them that because they're all, like, kind of, like, next along the
near,
river.
Yeah, near the river. So, like, you see it with Italian people.
Yep. You see it with all the Polacks down all with, those neighborhoods.
Yeah. You see it with Irish people in those
Irish people,
too.
Big time. Yeah. Yep. All my wife's family.
But there's something to that where, like, you grow up in poverty, and I think maybe you're angry that you're white and in poverty, right?
I think that's part of it.
And you want to point the finger at something.
Yes, and in speaking on the views of my family.
Don't say that. Speaking on people down there, just in case.
Right, okay. Yeah, just in case. But speaking on behalf of people down there, I think it's because
us redheads are lit now, man. We're on a Polenta commercial.
Guys are everywhere.
Get with us, ladies. Meghan Markle did.
But it's
Carson Wentz has a wife, I think.
Yeah.
What were you saying?
No, it's the lack of, you know, man.
Education?
No, they're not like, I mean, there's violence in those areas, but they're not out there shooting each other.
No.
They're just not. And that part of culture in those neighborhoods, like, is, like, really foreign. Now, obviously, Italian, a little different because there's mafiosos.
Right? Like, you would never shoot somebody in your parents' neighborhood. You know what I'm saying? Like, in a white community.
No. That's just so not there is, happening.
I mean, there's cultural differences. I think that's kind of what drives it apart.
I think that's the big
thing. Like, we were talking about, you know, white people being racist and still being shitty down there. And there's shitty people on both sides, you know?
100%,
And that's kind of what, ignites the fire.
Yeah. Well, you see it in our generation of all our old heads. So all my older family members tell me, my cousins, you know, male, female, whatever, like, they're inherently racist views. But we've grew up in our time, experience life differently, so then we come back with them, and we go, yeah, like, drop it, like, you know, it's 2018, like, you don't gotta feel this way anymore, blah, 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 and what they would always talk about sometimes, as I bring back the Meek Mill thing, is, like, you know, there's not enough positive influences, like, in that rap community. Everything's about, like, being a gangster, being hard, shooting, killing, selling drugs, damaging your community. So shout-outs to shout out to someone like Meek for showing, like, all his experience and his knowledge that,
gained. He's a smart guy. He's not dumb.
No, he's not dumb. He knows what people say. He knows stigmas. He understands stereotypes.
But at 16, he had the Too Raw for the Streets DVD.
Exactly. Which was probably everything that he's now has the hindsight to say, hey, I'm older, I'm wiser. Like, let's knock that shit off.
But do you I got a question for you.
Yeah.
Do you remember your first blowjob?
Yes.
How long did it take the guy to come? Do you know what I wanted to talk about too? I forgot this.
What?
Our dog Corey Postel passed away.
Yeah, man.
And I just remembered it, but I want to dedicate this episode to him. You know, it's so weird when you have somebody dies tragically like that, like suddenly, mm-hmm. and they're young, and he has a young son. And that really resonated with me. You know, I have a couple friends that were like best buddies with Corey. And I was friendly with Corey because of that. I never hung out with him one-on-one. Not looking for anybody's sympathy from this. I just want to give my guy Corey a shout out. Because right. he was a good dude. And you just kind of saw that with on social media. People were sharing his GoFundMe and stuff.
Yep.
And, you know, people were uniting to support Corey. And it's just weird. I want to shout him out. I think it's weird that when it's
7 o'clock.
You can't say bye to somebody before they're gone, you know?
Yeah. And I think, you know, unfortunately for me and you, we've experienced it like, you know, almost too many times yep. at this age through different experiences. And yeah, shout out Corey, you know, his GoFundMe page. My experience with him was like a lot of high school, early college. We really hang out a lot, a certain, you know, girl I dated back then, you know, and he was, like, messing, you know, around with, like, another girl, similar social group, and, like, I used to see dude all the time, and then what I always liked about him is he was older, you know, and, you know, through sports, he was always, like, really humble, and I always felt a certain vibe from his peers sometimes when it came to the sport yeah. I played of, like, you know, that was, like, their squad, and they didn't let you in.
Mm-hmm.
But he always, like, let me
yeah,
in.
Yeah, he always show love, man.
Yeah,
and, like, he was always cool dude to me. Never did. Here's the weird part about it. Like, it really does seem like good people pass young. And, yeah. like, it's not like he did anything. I haven't heard. Now, people talk great about the dead once they're gone, but mm-hmm. God bless the dead. But I've never heard one story of him doing some, like, scummy stuff to anybody.
Nah.
He always showed love, always was a positive dude.
Yep.
And he could tell a story like a mofo, but...
Oh, yeah.
You know, but...
Funny guy, charismatic.
Yeah, just, like, people liked him, and he was a good dude. I never saw him do anything bad.
Yeah.
So it's, like, weird when somebody like that passes, and you're like, oh, that shouldn't be.
Mm-hmm.
And shout out to my dog, Randy, from Wedgwood, too. He passed.
Yep.
And same thing with him, dude. Randy was just a good dude. He never did anything bad to anybody. And it just, like, doesn't seem right when people like that pass young.
I agree.
And especially with Corey, he had a young son that I'm sure his son is going to miss him like crazy because they were close. But
yeah.
And shout out to Big Country because Corey was – I was talking to him on Instagram, like, a couple weeks before he passed. And his son is 7-year-old switch hitter, which is, like, amazing.
Yeah.
I'm like, dude, that's really impressive. And he was like, yeah, I know. Big Country's going to take me to the big leagues.
Yes.
So, shout out to them. Horribly sorry for the family, their yeah. loss.
Yeah, sorry, you know, we couldn't be there today, you know, to, you know, to be, like, with, you know, the funeral and viewing things of that nature. Oh, you did?
Yeah.
I apologize for myself then. Start a new job, you know, bereavement policies yeah. can be bullshit.
Yeah,
at times.
I miss Randy's funeral. I was tighter with him than I was with Corey.
Yeah, I really wanted to go. You know, it's just how it is sometimes.
The people would understand.
Yeah.
And I mean, wish there was something we could say to make the family feel better, to make all his best friends feel better, but there's not, you know.
Nah.
That's kind of the way life goes, unfortunately. And all I can say is, you know, peace be with you. I'm praying that you get through this. And I hope that, you know, you can find some peace with this.
Yeah. That was well said.
All right. We're going to roll.
All right.
Thanks for listening.
Peace.
Joey Locke, Matt Milley. You're listening to the Matt Milley Podcast, the Philadelphia Roundtable.
Yep.
The podcast you just heard was published with Anchor.
Got something you want to say to the creator of this show? Send them a voice message using the Anchor app, free for iOS and Android.